We are in Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to be looking at the scriptures today. Have you ever felt, and maybe we can all say this, have you ever felt or said or thought or prayed, or maybe you said out loud in frustration, Lord, what do you want? What do you want from me? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to live? Where do you want me to work? Have you ever had that moment, or maybe moments in life, where you just say, Lord, help me to know what you want from my life? And I think especially of our graduates. And they are in one of the most important places in life. They've just completed a course of study. They've received their diploma. Now what? Now what? They step out and it's a moment of decision. They're going to take some directions. They're going to move forward. And I realize that a bunch of our graduates have made decisions about maybe going to college, and I think a couple of them have made decisions about going into the military. But you've got a whole lifetime ahead of you, a whole life of decisions and direction. And it's such a good time, if you're a graduate or you're in one of those moments in life, to say, Lord, what do you want from me now? How do you want me to live? Where do you want me to go? And I think it's a great question. They're great questions for graduates, but I also think they're great questions for all of us. Amen?
Amen.
All of us who are following, seeking to follow the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Let's pray as we continue on. Lord, help us. We're in your precious word. We've got it open. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. Put something in our hearts, Lord God, that we could take with us today, that we could take with us for a lifetime. Guide and direct, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 28. Look at verse 19 and 20. Let's read those two verses. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now this passage is called the Great Commission. And we believe it is a directive given to the local church. Go into all the world and win the lost. Go into all the world with the message of the gospel. And it is true, this is the Great Commission. And it is given to the local church. But when you look at these two verses, there are all kinds of important truths found in these verses. And in this passage, I believe the Lord is sharing what he really wants from me and from you. Yes, it is a passage about go into all the world and win the lost. But I also think it says something about me and you and what he wants for us. So we're going to look at that today. Look at verse 19. Look at verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Look at the word teach. If you've got King James Version, if you look at the word teach, the word in Greek is matheteo. It means to make disciples. So a lot of translations put it this way. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations. You know, out of these two verses, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, there's a number of commands to baptize, to teach all that Jesus has taught. But the imperative, the main command, is to make disciples. The one command is to make followers of Jesus. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That phrase literally means make students of Jesus. Make followers of Jesus. Those who will go behind Jesus almost literally and step behind him as he follows in the way. In the Great Commission, in the command of our Lord to the local church, the Lord reveals what he wants from me. He wants me to be a disciple. Not only to gain disciples, but first I've got to be one. He wants me to be a follower of Jesus wherever Jesus goes, to put my feet behind him, to be a student of him. where he goes, I'll go, and you'll go. We'll be disciples of him. Let me ask you a question. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you a follower of him? That's what God wants. When you hear someone say, Lord, what do you want? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to live? This is it. He wants you to be a follower. He wants you to be a follower. A follower of Jesus. In New Testament times, to follow a rabbi, to follow a teacher, you would literally go behind him in the pathways between towns and in villages. Wherever the rabbi went, you would go. Wherever the rabbi stopped, you would stop. Wherever the rabbi lodged, you would lodge. Wherever the rabbi ate, you would eat. You would follow him that closely that you would go behind him. And then you would listen to his words. And you would absorb his precepts. And whatever he believed, you would believe. Whatever he thought was a value, you would adopt it as a value. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, be followers of me, even as also I am of Christ. I'm following Jesus. You follow me like I'm following Jesus. So when Jesus says, make disciples, Matthew 28:19, this is what he wants us to do. He's the rabbi. He's the teacher. He is the Lord. Follow him. Wherever he goes, follow him. If you're going to follow Jesus, and I heard some amens before. I said, are we followers of Jesus? A lot of people, amen. That's what I want to do. If you would be a follower of Jesus, there's a number of things that are part of that. If you would be a follower of Jesus, you would have a radical born again experience if you're going to follow Jesus. Would you turn to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9? Matthew chapter 9, if you will, and verse 9. If you would follow Jesus, you would have a radical born-again change in your life. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Matthew is in a receipt of custom. Now, it's a tax collector's booth is what it is. He's collecting taxes for Rome. And not only is he collecting taxes for Rome, he's collecting money for himself. This is one of the most despicable positions in life. Because he's stealing from people. You get your tax bill. And it says $5,000. He puts his hand out and says, guess what? I want 10. $5,000 for Rome. $5,000 for me. Extorting people. Stealing from people. From his own people. They were usually Jewish men. And they were collecting taxes from their own population. And traitors to their own people. Stealing from their own people. In fact, in Matthew 21, Jesus talks about tax collectors and prostitutes in the same breath. They're in the same category. They're in the same category. Someone said this, tax collectors, Matthew is one, Matthew 9:9, tax collectors were among the most despised people in society. Sinners, lost, stealing, gaining for themselves. Look at verse 9 of Matthew 9. Jesus says to this one who is lost, he says, follow me. You're a sinner. Your life is in judgment. I'm the Savior. Follow me. You're done with the world. You're done with this tax booth. You're done following the world. You're done following the world to an eternal hell. You come. You follow me. You be my disciple. You walk after me. And look at the end of verse 9. Matthew said this, or the scriptures say, and he arose and he followed him. Matthew gave it all up. He decided that he was not going to be a part of the world. He was not going to follow the world. He was going to follow Jesus. And let me say this, if you, now talk about Matthew now, but if you would be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, you need to start with a radical change. Matthew had a radical change in his life, where he decided he was going to have Jesus as his Savior. He was going to forsake his sin and follow the Lord. Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again. Amen? You must be born again. You must have a revolutionary, literal change in your heart, or you'll never follow Jesus. You'll never be a disciple of him. You must agree with him that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You must agree with him that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must believe. And 2 Corinthians 5 tells us when we do that, we are a new creation, a new creature in Christ. I think about our graduates. The ink is still drying on the diploma. You know, touch it when you get home. See if it's dry. Dr. Seuss, in All the Places We'll Go, listen to this. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own, and you know what you know. And you are the one who will decide where you go. But I'll tell you this, if you don't follow Jesus, you're done before you start. You're done before you start. If you don't start following Jesus, knowing you're a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, that you've forsaken the world and the sin of the world, you've asked the blood of Christ to cover you, forget it. Forget it. Matthew 16 tells us, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whatever awards or scholarships or jobs or promotions or fortunes or accomplishments, without Christ, it's zero. It's zero. I think of one of our kindergarten graduates, Haley. And this past year, she went home from a church service and she trusted Jesus as her Savior. What a precious thing to start, to begin with Jesus. Amen? Amen. What a precious thing that is. What about you? Don't go anywhere. And now graduates ready to go and conquer the world. And we've got good people, hardworking people, people that have goals and ideas here. Don't even start without Jesus. Don't even begin this week without knowing for sure you've got Christ in your heart. If you would be a follower, if you would be a disciple of Jesus. Jesus said, follow me. If you would be a follower, you would have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Here's number two. If you would follow Jesus, if you would be a disciple, Matthew 28:19, if you would be a disciple, you would truly follow him where and when he wants you to go. Where and when he wants you to go. Matthew chapter 8, if you would. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 8, verse 21 and 22. And it says this. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Suffer me first, or allow me first to go before I follow you. Let me go bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Well, Jesus, sometimes you wonder what he's saying. I mean, is Jesus just being harsh here? Jesus doesn't even want someone to tend to the basic responsibilities of family. You can't even help bury a family member if you're going to follow him? Is that what Jesus is saying? Lord, suffer me. Look at the verse. Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. One scholar said this. This man's father was not dead or even at the point of death. This disciple was simply saying he wanted to return home and wait until his father died. You know this one in Matthew who would follow Jesus? I'll follow you, but not now. I mean, I'll follow you someday, but I don't want to do it today. It's just not a good day. I'll follow you, but I've got other things to do. I'll follow you, but it's not the most important thing. It's down here. It's not up here in the list. So what does that look like in real life? What does that look like to us? Lord, I'll go to church and serve you in practical, seeable ways, but not now. I've got school. I've got work. I've got training. Not now. Lord, I'll get rid of this bad habit. I'll get rid of drugs. I'll get rid of pornography. I'll get rid of smoking. I'll get rid of drinking. I'll get rid of lying or stealing, but not now. I won't, or I can't, or not now. I'm just not going to do it. Look at the scripture, Matthew 8:21. Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. What does it look like in everyday life? Lord, you've called me to full-time ministry, but I can't really do that. I got different directions to take. You know, being called to the ministry, I was a very young man when I was called to the ministry. Being called to the ministry is for young people. Being called to the ministry is for older people. You realize one of our missionaries, Howie McClure, was called to South Africa when he was my age. He was about 50 years old, and he was called to the ministry. Some of the saddest memories that I have in my life, as I look back, are men who felt the call of God in their lives, and they ended up doing something else. It's just a sad thing. It's a heartbreaker. It really is. Look at Matthew 8:22. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Jesus wasn't saying you can't help your family. He wasn't saying you can't take care of important family matters. Follow me and let the dead bury the dead. He's making a point. He's making a point. The time to follow me is now. The time to follow me is now. Amen. The time to put feet behind my feet, to follow where I go, is now. Let the dead, look at the verse, look at verse 22. Let the spiritually dead be occupied with the things of this world. I'm not Dr. Seuss, and I can't come up with wonderful sayings. But I have one important thing that I've always thought was true. You do what you want to do. Amen? You do what you want to do. Whatever you think is important, whatever I think is important, guess what? It comes to the top. I end up doing what I want to do. Whatever you think is important. And Jesus says, follow me. Right now and on into eternity. Now, follow me. It's got to be important to us. It's got to be something you want to do. If you would be a follower of Jesus, you would truly follow him when and where he wants you to go. The third and final thing, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you would be willing to die for the pathway that he takes you. You'd be willing to put it all on the line for the pathway that he takes you. Matthew 16:24. Would you turn to Matthew 16:24? And it says in verse 24 these words. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself take up his cross and follow me. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Seems like we've talked about this before. Oh, Pastor, you're repeating yourself. We've had this verse, I think we talked about it on a Wednesday and some other times. But do you realize that if you read the Gospels, Jesus taught, if you're going to follow me, you're going to take up your cross. He taught this three separate occasions. And a rabbi, a teacher, would go from town to town and teach the same message over and over. So he may have taught this verse, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. He taught it on numerous occasions. So I want to share it again today. It's okay. I want to share it again today because it's a part of following Jesus. It's so important. Are you a follower of Jesus? Of course I am, you would say. I'll live where he wants me to live. I'll work where he wants me to work. I'll even go to church where he wants me to go to church. Listen, I think the easiest part of the disciples in Jesus' day following him was physically following him from one town to another. Maybe stopping where he stopped to eat. The hardest part of being a disciple was when he stopped. When he stopped and he said, "This is my way for your soul." When Jesus stopped and he said things like this, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." When he said things like that, that's hard. That's different than just walking down a pathway. "But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair black or white." All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. Just tell the truth. Jesus had hard words for following after him. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother," and many other things. Are you really willing to follow Jesus? Not just to the church that he's led you to, but are you willing to follow him in your soul when he says these hard things and you say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow Jesus. Are you willing to follow Jesus even if it kills you? "If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Are you willing? Think about our graduates. I think about all of our people. Are you willing to keep your marriage together no matter what? No matter what, if it kills you, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. Are you willing to tell the truth, even if it kills you? Are you willing to stand for Bible convictions about gender identity, about the sanctity of life, about biblical marriage, even if it kills you? You're willing to do it. You're willing to follow Jesus. You're willing to follow after him in these hard things that he says. Are you willing to be separate from this world's standards? Come out from among them. The Bible says, "Be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." In the back of your mind, you might be saying, "You know what? I might do those things, but my friends don't like it. People around me might not like it if I do these things. If I follow this book, if I really believe what this book says about marriage and life in the womb and telling the truth and honoring your father and mother, my friends wouldn't like it." Can I say this? If you have friends that don't have biblical convictions, If you don't have friends that don't show up for church, you got the wrong friends. Amen? You got the wrong friends. Even if they're a friend in some other state and they better be going to a Bible-believing church and following this book. If they're not, you say, sayonara, goodbye. I'm making Bible-believing friends. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You, graduates and everyone here, you will kindly, humbly follow Jesus to the end, no matter who it offends. Amen? No matter who it offends. No matter what the cost. If you would be a disciple, if you would be a follower of Jesus, we're almost done. Listen to me now. Listen. Two practical tips. If you're going to follow Jesus, two practical tips. Number one, don't look for freedom. Don't seek freedom. I've graduated from high school. I'm free. You can think that, and it's natural on some levels. It's the end of the week. It's Friday. I'm free. I'm retired. I'm free. You're busier, right? Then I want Publishers Clearinghouse. I'm free. There's a natural little voice in the back that says, oh, just let me out. Let me be free. Someone said this, the first duty of every soul is to find not its freedom, but its master. And I'm going to tell you this, the greatest freedom in this life is following the master. Amen? Amen. Following the master. The greatest peace I have found in my life is when I hold this book and I say, oh Lord, I want to obey it. And I want to be in the right where your arms are around me in fellowship with you. It's the greatest peace I've ever known. It's the greatest freedom and security I've ever known when I'm truly following the master. He's so good to me, so good to you. He knows the way to go. He'll never let you down. Oh, don't seek freedom. Seek the master. Seek the master. The second thing is this, and then we're done. Listen to me. Listen. Don't go a separate way from this book, either for work or for studies or for even for morality, and then ask God's blessing. Oh, by the way, Jesus, bless me. By the way, Jesus, I just gone a certain way. Would you bless it? When you're following someone, they're never behind you, right? They're never behind you. They're out in front of you. Lord, I'm going to date this person. You didn't seek him. Oh, bless me, Lord. Bless me. Lord, I'm going to work at this place. You didn't seek him. Oh, bless me. Bless this job. I'm 52 years old. I'm going to tell you right now. Too many times over those 52 years, I've gone my own way, and then I've asked God to bless it. Don't do it. Don't. I will follow Jesus. Will you say it with me? I will follow Jesus. I will follow Jesus. Let's pray. Our Lord, we come before you in Jesus' name. Oh, what a precious Savior. Not only does he save us with the blood of Calvary, but he loves us for 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years in this world, and 10,000 times 10,000 in the next. And Lord, we'll follow you in this world, through the valley of the shadow of death and into the next world. O Lord, you are our Savior, our Lord, and our Master, we pray. And as everyone has got their heads bowed and their eyes closed, I just want to ask this morning, is there anyone you've never trusted Jesus as Savior? You're not sure what that means. You're not sure what it means to have a radical change in your heart so you're a new creation in Christ. Is there anyone here you're just uncertain about what that means? And would you raise your hand and let your pastor pray for you? I'm not sure what it means to be born again. I'm not sure what it means to have Him as my Savior. Is there anyone that would raise their hand and say, oh Lord, pray for me and let the pastor pray for me? Come before you, Lord Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.